Here, can you put it on the...
Thank you so much. It's so good to see you this morning, and we will keep moving, I trust, in the Lord. Is this working? Do y'all hear it okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, very good. Hey, my switcher, don't have my flipper to flip my slides. Okay.
Let me make sure this is working. Mike will have to switch in there in a minute. Oh, no, we're going. Good.
Very good. Just a brief review. All of you know, as we've experienced in worship today, we're in a new place, aren't we? So in order to sink our feet where we are, just a brief review. Back in September, the Jewish calendar was 5778. And then 2 or 3 months ago, the other calendar, 2018, notice what is similar to both the Jewish calendar and the Gregorian calendar. What is it? An eight. And what does eight stand for? Eight stands for new beginnings. I'm ready for new beginnings, are you?
Yes, ma'am.
And in order to be all that God would have us to be for new beginnings, we have to go through that door, and we need a kingdom heart in order to stay well grounded, to move forward in where He's taking us. Maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. Mike, will you flip it for me one time, and maybe it'll keep going. I love this picture because it describes to me a woman taking a section of the earth and the heavens and pulling it back like a blanket in order to step into the new kingdom that is within us, and God wants us to walk in victory as a way of life. As I look at this kingdom here, it reminds me of Hebrews 26:27 that says, once more I will shake in order that what cannot be shaken may remain and continue. Do you want shaken off of you everything that doesn't look like Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. I know all of us do. Amen. We want shaken off of us everything that doesn't look like Jesus. But in order for that to happen, we have to let go of the past, the uncomfortable, the things that we felt comfortable in, that we're familiar, and pull it back and say, shake, God, anything that doesn't look like Jesus, because I want to go into the promised land that you have for me. And God is stirring in all of us that. I want you to do a little experiment for me. Mike, it looks like I'm going to have to... What this is to represent, a white sheet of paper. A white sheet of paper I put up there. Now on that white sheet of paper, I can't flip. I am drawn two black dots. Got it? And then I connect those two black dots with a line. Now look at it a minute. My picture is complete. What do you see? Give me some feedback.
A barbell.
Barbell, okay. Somebody else, what do you see?
Starting point
and an ending point. Good, all those good things. What else somebody else see? What?
Buttonhole.
Buttonhole, yeah. A sore would see that, wouldn't they? What else do you see? What? two circles that are connected. Very good answers. We could go on and on. I want to put the picture up complete. Mike, I'm sorry. I do need your help. The one on the left is the white sheet that was represented before creation. The white sheet of paper represented before creation. Before creation. Before there was a world, before there was a universe, it was a white sheet of paper that is to represent the character of who our God is and what His plan was and has not changed. At that time, He looked around and said, I love being with my Son. I delight in His company. We have such fun being together. I want a whole family of human divine sons that I can enjoy like I enjoy my Son. And His Son said, and I, Father, will delight to give you many, many more sons just like me. And we will enjoy an intimate family and relationship forever. And in that time and in that place, at that time, the Holy Spirit, they said, we can't do this by ourselves. The Father wants to give unto the Son, and the Son wants to give unto the Father, but we have to have the Holy Spirit to reveal the Father's plan and the Son's provision. Father's character before was good, loving, kind, faithful. He never changed. This is representing the fall. Adam and Eve and our space walking on earth in this fallen condition. Father never changed. He's still good. He's still faithful. He's still kind. He's still loving. What changed? Our hearts. Our hearts changed. And the blackness of sin warped our view, and we couldn't see how God was. We took on self-centered, I know what's best. I'll do it. My way's got to work. And we became very, very self-centered. Now our job is to remember who our God is and that He did not change. His heart is good all the time. He gives only good gifts all the time. He's always faithful. And our mind got messed up and we do not trust Him. And so our job is to return to trusting Him, and that's our assignment. And how do we do that? The next slide shows, from my vantage point, how we are to learn to live in trusting Him. This picture of a girl sitting on a bench looking out over a scene with the cross in the distance says to me, Psalms 46:10 that Michelle is wearing today, be still and know that I'm God. God hadn't changed. We're the ones changed. People around us have changed, but He hasn't changed. Be still. Be still and know I haven't changed. And how did you receive Him? Colossians 2:6 said, just as you received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. How did you receive Him? When you received Him as your Savior, you knew there wasn't anything you could do, didn't you? It had to be totally God's grace, and you received it. But what happened? It was easy to think, okay, now that I'm saved, I'm going to have to work like I did before. I'm going to have to perform like I did before. I'm going to have to get His approval like I tried to before. And forgetting God hasn't changed. He loves you, and there's nothing you can do to make Him love you anymore. I'm still trying to grasp that. So that just as we rested in Him for salvation, we are to let the peace of God that we gained when we received Him as our Savior, or maybe He met us at a critical place and delivered us from an addiction or something, and we felt such peace. He said, walk in that. Remember that you can't do it, only I can do it. Mike, can you help me again? I have meditated on this verse for the last 2 months, and I want to learn to live by it as a way of life. Because if we remember who our God is before, He hasn't changed. Only our hearts are changed. And we stop living for each other's approval. We stop living for each other's love. We stop living for each other's acceptance. And we start living to Him. Romans 11:36 says, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever." Okay, what does that look like? From Him. I came from Him perfectly. A good God that can do only good things and continues to give me good things. And through Him, that means I do not do it in my own strength. I don't try to make it happen. I don't try to impress other people. I'm not looking for their approval. It's through Him we allow Him to arise in us and be the resurrection power that lives in us as we stay in that place of peace, knowing He's God and we're not. He's God and we're not. And then we do it to Him. We live unto Him. Now, if we're living unto Him, I will stay in that place of peace. And if He's given me that place of peace, I rest there. Now, if Gary's disappointed with me, I will consider what he has to say. And I may need to work on my delivery. I may need to work on my communication. I may need to work on a lot of things to get my mind unwarped. But if I'm doing it to Him, then I'm not thrown for a loop, and I'm not offended because Gary didn't like what I said. Amen. Now, I'm not there, but I'm working on it. And I want to be there more every day. Yes, it's important, Mike, I need you again. It's important to remember Father's heart. Okay, good. Father's heart is for you. He poured Himself out for you through His Son. Now His Son came and His Son died, but Father experienced that too. And Holy Spirit did too. They purchased us, and Jesus being the one doing it, they've shown their heart for us. They're for us, not against us. Our Father is for us, not against us. He wants the damage to be reversed. Now, I want us to think back about Matthew 19:26 says, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." We're to learn to live in the unseen, the invisible, seeing who our God is. He's already won the victory, as we talked about today. We're just got to get on our horse that came here today and ride and execute that victory. And we can compare our walk with the children of Israel were in slavery. You and I, each one of us, were in slavery to sin. We could not sin. And Moses led them out of Egypt. And for 40 years, you know the story, they wandered in the desert. Now, they saw miracles in the desert. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw their clothes not wearing out. If they got bigger or smaller, their clothes just adjusted to them. Their shoes never wore out. They had food to eat. They had water to drink. They had every need taken care of, and they saw miracles. But they did not exercise their trust in God. They didn't remember who He was. They were afraid to hear His voice. They didn't want to hear His voice. And so they wandered in the desert. And do you remember when they sent out spies to look at the land to see if they could take Canaan land? You remember only two. They came back and said, "It's a beautiful land. The grapes are so big it takes two men to carry the cluster of grapes. But the land is inhabited with these big, 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 big giants." And they were big, 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 big giants. And so even though it's a rich, fertile land, we can't take it because the giants are too big. There was only two, Caleb and Joshua, that said, "Yes, we can. Because we know our God. We've seen His miracles. And we know His power has already won the victory. And we're willing to do it from Him, through Him, and to Him. And it will be victorious." But they didn't. And the ones that didn't believe died in the wilderness. The two that did believe and said, "Yeah, if you look at what it looks like, it does look like we're grasshoppers in comparison to them. But we're looking through God's eyes. And we know nothing's impossible for Him. And if He says, take it, then we want to take it." There was only two of them. I'm encouraged that Caleb was 85 when he did that. So I'm counting on that. So are you ready to go to get your inheritance? God has an inheritance for you that only you can take. Only you can take. It's called the Promised Land. It's what Caleb and Joshua led them across the Jordan River into. Now, to take the Promised Land doesn't mean that they just go in there and the giants drop dead and so forth. It means now they got to learn to sew their own clothes. They're going to have to grow cotton or whatever they get their fabric from. They're going to have to plant gardens, and they're going to have to dig wells, and they're going to have to kill the giants. Amen. And everything you've been through and I've been through is prepared by God as we've trusted Him to the best of our ability. None of us have done it perfect. If you think you have, I don't want to bust your bubble, but might as well go ahead. None of us have done it perfectly. But if we're doing it the best we can, God says, "I've expanded your capacity to hold me, and I've developed the character in you in order to take the Promised Land." Ladies and gentlemen, it takes character. And that's the only thing God will not do for you. You have to trust Him during the difficult times, the hard times, the confusing times, by faith, believing He's a good God when you can't feel His presence. When you do that, your character is developed and His glory is being released. And when the bowl is full, it will tip over and you'll feel his presence and he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But you cannot have somebody to pray for you and release character. That has to be done as you trust God as a way of life. So when we go into the promised land, there will be war. But you're able to. He sent a horse for you to ride. He said, whatever I direct you to do, I will do through you as you give it back to me. But you read the battles in Joshua. Every one of them was different. That meant you depend on me, not you. And so that is our key here. As we're pulling back, the curtain of our present surroundings, as you pull that back, it's going to stir up stuff you didn't even know was in you. And when it stirs up stuff you didn't even know was in you, don't pass out. Don't get angry. Don't get fearful. Say, thank you, God. You stirred it up because you're going to heal it. So you run to him as opposed to away from him. I had hoped Elizabeth would be here today, but she's in Colorado with a wedding. So she gave me permission to do this. About a month ago, she came in and during the worship service became very, very furious. Furious is worse than anger. She was furious. And as I've thought through it and she's talked about it, I realized that why was she furious? Because we've taken a motto, the Moravian motto, that says, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, love. Well, without Elizabeth realizing it, she was furious about a non-essential. And she wanted things different than they were. And she felt she could prove she was right. So she got more furious and more furious. And then Sean started singing prophetically. If you only knew how much I love you. Do you remember singing that, Sean? She didn't want you singing that. And the more you sang it, the furious she got. She said, I think he sang it 100 times. So what was being raised up in her heart? A non-essential. A non-essential. A non-essential. Actually, her God, who he is and his love, was being stretched farther than she ever wanted it stretched. And she said for 2 days she was furious at home. And finally on the second day she repented of her anger. And when she repented of her anger, God's love baptized her. And 2 days later in our small group, as she shared, tears just streamed down her face. If you only knew how much he loved you. If you only knew how much he loved you. If you only knew how much he loved you. As I watched, I thought something powerful is going on here. She wrote, if we only knew how much he loved us, we would know we are sons and all that entails. To be sons of the Most High Creator of everything, we would be secure in who we are. We would rule and reign with him in heavenly places. We would subdue this earth back under the leadership of the true King Jesus. We would have no fear of anything because Daddy's love is perfect. No fear of anything. Not people, not jobs, no fear of failure, no fear of anything. No fear of death, no fear of cancer, none. We would trust Him for every aspect of our lives. No worry, no depression. We would be overwhelmed that we would be so overwhelmed that it would spill out of us to everyone around. We would be on fire. Those around us would catch it. In fact, we wouldn't just spill. We would want to pour this love out on everyone we see. Gushes and gushes of love, fire pouring out. Lives would change dramatically. Marriages would transform. You would not be able to preach any sermons because we would have such intense worship, we would not stop for you. We all really want to be the worship team. We would be free of shame and guilt. We would walk in the holiness of the blood Jesus gives us. We would be so wrecked by His love that we would quit sinning, quit our self-centered ways, quit pornography, quit hating, quit cursing, quit questioning, quit being lukewarm, quit worshiping cell phones, social media, television, games, quit everything that takes our love and attention from His face. Total and permanent repentance because God's love has taken over. I want that, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
I know I'm not there. But I want to be there. I want to be there. And so, in order to be there, let's look at this next verse. It is Psalms 37, 3 through 5. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord, and do good. Trust Him the best you know how, and just do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on His faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. As we just delight ourselves in Him, living from Him, through Him, to Him, He will give us the desires of our heart, and we'll be surprised because what we thought was the desires of our heart was just the bare fringes of our heart. He knows your heart, and He wants to bless you. Give God the right to direct your life, it says from the Passion, from the fifth verse. And as you trust Him along the way, you'll find He pulled it off perfectly. So that's our mandate. That's our marching orders. Give God the right to direct your life. Don't try to direct it yourself. Give Him the right to direct it. And as you do, guard your heart. When you feel anger coming up, you know you're the only one can guard your heart. I can point out that I see anger. But if you don't guard it, if you don't turn it over to God, you're the only one that can do that. So guard your heart so that it'll match up with His heart. And as you do that, there will be wellsprings of life flowing up in you. So less in the days to come. I am having trouble again. No, I went back one too far. In the days to come, less practice. When you come around people, circumstances, and things that make you mad, make you angry, make you disappointed, look straight through it and say, God's in control here. If I will let Him be from Him, through Him, and to Him, I will release His power into that situation. You will be the highway that His life flows into that situation. And as you do that, you will be fulfilling. I love this picture, if I can get the PowerPoint to move. When Father said, Son, go get my children. Son, go get my children. 1 Peter says the reason Jesus came was to bring us back home, to Father's heart. And so as we lock our heart with His heart, remembering His heart cannot not love you. No matter what you've done, He loves you.
Awesome.
He accepts you.
Yes.
And He loves you so much, He won't leave you that way. He will show you the anger or the fear or the distrust so that it can be pulled away from you and you'll be free to come back to the Father. So let's take our sword and everything that doesn't look like Jesus in your life and in my life, let's cut it away this week.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's wake up and say, Jesus, I want to love you as much as you love me. And this song they sang that Jason and Corey wrote, Infinity, His love is infinity. He wants to expand our horizons of what His heart is toward us and how much He loves us. And we'll be discovering that for all eternity. But Elizabeth found out that her theology was expanded through that experience. God spoke some powerful words to her. Said, you got a piece of it, but I want to give you a bigger piece. And when she did, her anger fell. So, less inclusion be an answer. In conclusion, be an answer to Jesus' final prayer. In John 17:26, I have revealed to them who you are. We want to know what Father's like and what He looks like. Read the Gospels. What Jesus did, He revealed Father perfect. We've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. I've revealed to them who you are, and I'll continue to make you more real to them. He came to take us back to Father's heart so we can enjoy that family unity, that family fellowship, that family camaraderie. That family love, so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. I want to, God's already exploded on us today, His love, His presence. All that are open, I would encourage you to stand with me as I dismiss you and hold your hands out. And I'm going to ask God to baptize us in His love afresh and so overwhelm us with His love that we surrender everything to Him and give everything to Him that doesn't look like Him. And when we're corrected by each other or by the Lord. Now, if somebody else corrects you, you take it to the Lord and say, separate the precious from the vile. Are they just pushing on me their own junk? Or is it true? So you separate, you say, Lord, separate the precious from the vile. Is this true or not? Probably it'll be about halfway true. And you take the truth and you lay the other at the foot of the cross and you move on. And so, Father, we say now, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb, we want to come back to Father's heart. We want to see Father's heart. We want to willingly and quickly run into your arms and surrender everything that does not look like you. We invite you. We not only give you permission, but we invite you to strip off of us everything that doesn't look like Jesus. And my impulsive nature would just be, God, just do it all now, which I said about 60 years ago. And He said, if I did, you wouldn't recognize yourself. So I thank you that you're gentle, that you're kind. Let's be patient with each other. We're all in this journey in a process. So, Father, we give ourselves to you. We say, baptize us afresh and anew in your love so that we see you so magnanimously that we always walk with you, talk with you, conversate with you, enjoy that intimacy so that your light and your life flows through us and we continue to have victory for your glory to release Jesus' work and your plan on earth in us and through us. And we thank you for how you're doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.